We're discussing this Chaitanya Charitamrita, one beautiful story from Madhya Lila, chapter 12. And this story is entitled Jagannanda Pandit Force Feeds Mahaprabhu. And there was some of the players here in this Lila, of course, are Mahaprabhu is the main one and Jagannanda. But there's some secondary supporting actors here, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Gopinathacharya. In the course of the whole Leela, they've also taken a position and some prominence in the as the scenes unfold in this beautiful drama or Leela of Gauranga and their interplay. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, is watching it all and listening and rather relishing the exchanges between his devotees. And then he's he's appreciating it. Because in the context of this, they're all sitting together taking prasadam, first of all, in Puri. And it's Chaturmasya. And now Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya he's admitting that actually before Lord Chaitanya came into my life, my life was wasted. I was simply a dry logician. And I was like a crow. He says, I was like a crow. And I was associating with a bunch of jackals. And all the time they were just whining and crying like jackals, speaking all kinds of tarka, and all kinds of naya and tarka arguments. But now I become like, by mercy of Mahaprabhu, I become like Garuda. And I'm merged in the Sudha Samudra Tarange. I'm riding in the waves of the sweet nectar ocean of associating with the Premi Bhaktas of Gauranga. That's quite a change from eating dry oil cakes of logic and associating with a bunch of jackals, as he said in his own words. He says, my shishigan, says Shrigala, Tarkik Shrigala Sange Bhu Bhu Kari. He said, this is my shishigan. They were just a bunch of shishigan sange. They were a bunch of jackals simply crying. So now Lord Chaitanya, hearing this dialogue, hearing this confession and submission of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya expressing the utmost humility and pridelessness, Lord Chaitanya is quite impressed. So then he replies to Sarvabhauma in verse 185, Prabhuka he purve siddha, Krishne tomar priti, toma sange yama sabar, haila Krishna mati. Mahaprabhu said to Sarvabhauma, after he heard Sarvabhauma was speaking so many things, oh Mahaprabhu, by your mercy, you turned me, who was a crow, into a Garuda, and you submerged me in an ocean of nectar, and you've done so much for me. And he's appreciating and showing his gratitude to Mahaprabhu in a public assembly, and he's speaking out his heart and mind. And Mahaprabhu, it's all about prema and exchange of love and feelings and appreciation, mutual appreciation and gratitude towards each other. So now Mahaprabhu, he steps up and says, Sarvabhauma, from your previous birth, Purva Janam, you have been in Krishna consciousness, Purva Siddha Krishna, Krishne Tomar Priti. Your love for Krishna is eternally perfected. That's Prabhupada translates Krishna consciousness. Purva Siddha Krishna Tomar Priti. Your Priti, Tomar Priti, your love is, you've perfected your love. Basically, Gauranga is saying, listen, in your previous life, you perfected your love for Krishna. Purva Janam, previous life. Thus, you love Krishna so much that simply by your association, we are all developing Krishna consciousness. Toma Sange Ama Sabar Haila Krishna Mati. Krishna Mati. Mati means thinking. Mati. Krishne Mati Rastu. May your thinking or may you be Krishna conscious. So he's saying, Krishna Mati. This is the beautiful, as I often comment, the beautiful dynamics and loving exchanges of Krishna with his pure devotees. It's such a beautiful land, such a sweet land. It's hard to relate because we live in a land of envy, and we live in a land of hatred, and we live in a land of fault finding, and we live in a land of putting each other down and establishing our own supremacy. So Lord Chaitanya, on one side, the camera is on Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He's glorifying Lord Chaitanya. You did all this for me. I was a crow. Crow is nothing, a black bird making horrible sounds. So I was like a black bird, a crow. Ha, 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 ha. Kaka, kaka. But now I'm Garuda, I'm singing Rig Veda, or excuse me, Samaveda. When Garuda flies through the air, the wings of Garuda, it says they vibrate Sanskrit shlokas from the Samaveda. It's very beautiful. Not exactly like a crow. A crow, when you hear a crow, you want to run from there. Plug your ears and run from there. But if you hear the Samaveda, it sounds like the rising and descending crescendo of a veena or a santor. The vibration of the shlokas is so beautiful. You know, the chandas means the meter. The chandas is full of ragas and raganis. Very musical. It's all musical Sanskrit, the Samaveda. It's not like a crow. So it's very specific. He's contrasting. You say, I was a crow, you made me Garuda. I was making sounds like a jackal. Bow, 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 just whining and crying like a jackal. And now because I'm Garuda, I'm making sweet vibrations like Garuda, the Samaveda. I'm seeing the glories of Gauranga and the glories of Radha and Krishna. These are the sweetest vibrations. Madhuravachan. Madhuraswara. Madhuraswara. Very sweet. Very attractive. So you've done this for me. It's all Mahaprabhu Kripa. He said that earlier. He said it's by your grace I have received this opulence of perfection. Tomara prasadi mora a sampat siddhi. Sampat siddhi. Siddhi means the perfection of all possible attainments. Sampat means wealth, acquirements. This is your mercy, Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu Kripa. It's only by your mercy. And Lord Chaitanya is listening. No. It's not my mercy. My mercy. It's you. It's just you, Sarvabhauma. From your past life, you're already perfected. You're already Krishna Priti Siddha. Krishna Priti means, Bhav, Prema. Priti means love. Ah, you already developed love for Krishna in your last life, so it's natural you're showing all these signs of love in this life. What role did I have to do with that? I didn't do anything. Me, I didn't do anything. Just see. I mean, Lord Chaitanya not only writes the verse, Trinada Pisa Nichena, that one should be more tolerant than a tree, lower than a star on the street. He's a personification, the embodiment of that shloka. He is more tolerant than a tree. Sarvabhauma, in your previous verse, you already attained perfection and love of God. Purve Siddha Krishna Priti. Thus, you love Krishna so much, Sarvabhauma, that by my associating with you, that I am developing my Krishna consciousness. And this is not, he's not trying to be, you know, say some cute words or say and be clever and, oh, one-upmanship. Well, you said like this, you're trying to out-humble me, well, I'm going to out-humble you. Like sometimes devotees try to out-humble each other. Oh, you know, I'm so fallen. No, but I'm fallen. No, but I'm really ati-ati fallen. You know, out-humble the other guy. So now Lord Chaitanya goes on, Krishna's Kaviraj steps in to make his comment. Bhakta mahima bharete, bhakta suke dite, mahaprabhu bina anya nahi tri jagate. Bhakta suke dite, anya nahi tri jagate. Krishna's Kaviraj says, there is no one, vina anya nahi tri jagat, bhur bhuva swa. Tri jagat, bhur bhuva swa. There is no one within the three worlds, within bhur loka, bhuva loka, swarga loka, except Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always so willing to increase the glories of the devotees and give them satisfaction. Bhakta mahima bharite. Bhakta suke dite. This is another expression of the definition of prema. Bhakta prema, Vaishnava prema. Krishna prema. Once Prabhupada, one devotee said, Prabhupada, you know, I'm trying to love Krishna, I'm trying to serve Krishna, but it's a little hard to deal with these devotees. You know, my god brothers, god sisters, I don't so much like them, you know. But I'm trying to love Krishna my best I can, but I'm having a lot of trouble with these devotees, you know, their ego's this and my ego's that. And then Prabhupada said, as much as you can love the devotees, that's as much as you can love Krishna. As much as you can love the devotees, that's as much as you can love Krishna. So if we can't, as they say in English, love me, love my dog. That's some expression. You know, you have a pet dog. Oh, you're throwing, take a stick and beat the dog and the master won't be too happy with you. So if we really want to love Krishna, and we can't love Krishna without trying and expressing love for his devotees. And the perfect exemplar of that idea was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, who's being recognized here and glorified by Krishna's Kaviraj for that very ability, that very quality, that he really gets into it. And he increases bharite, it's in Bengali, bhara, a rolled R, bharite, bhakta mahima bharite. He really likes to glorify bhakta mahima, he really likes to glorify the devotees, bhakta mahima, in a genuine way, not an exaggerated way, but an honest and a genuine way, he glorifies the bhaktas. And then, and by doing that, what is the effect of that? Everything is a cause and effect. Whatever we do creates some effect. Our actions, our words, our behavior, it affects people. It affects us. If you, day and night, if you dwell on the offenses of other, if you dwell on the bad qualities of other people and you're always fault-finding and find, oh, what happens? What's the effect of that activity? That all those bad qualities come into you. And you become the abode of all those bad qualities that you point out in someone else. And it's like the Australian boomerang. Have you heard of this thing called boomerang? Adivasis, they have some kind of weapon. I mean, Australians just take a 30-odd six and shoot off whatever they want. Right? They just take a rifle and go knock off whatever they want. But the Aborigines, they don't have so many rifles, at least in the old days, I guess. They have some little wing type thing, like a V. It's called a boomerang. And it's designed, it's pretty aerodynamic, pretty clever, intelligent design, actually. So-called Adivasis. But it's aerodynamically designed, almost like the wing of an airplane. Fat and thin parts of it. That if you throw it up in the air, and it comes right back, you know, it can hit something and come right back to where you are. I think the idea was there's some bird flying there, and you want to have some lunch or whatever. You know, you're a little hungry, so you just go, like, you just fling the thing. And it goes up there 200 meters and knocks a bird in the neck and then comes back with a bird on the end of it or something to catch it. Called a boomerang. In other words, what you know, like a yo-yo, you know, it goes down and up. So whatever you throw out to someone, hey, you're this, that, you know, you're this, that, that comes right back at you. Zoop. And it comes back with more velocity than you throw. You know that, because things, there's the rate, there's in physics, the law of physics, they calculate as things fall, every so many feet they increase to a certain speed. You know, when you parachute jump or something, they say, when you free fall, your bodily speed picks up to some certain extent. So when you throw the boomerang, you throw it up in the air, it goes up maybe 50 kilometers an hour or something. When it comes back, it's 200 kilometers. So it goes, and then comes back. So this is the boomerang effect of Aparad, the boomerang effect of Vaishnava Aparad. You throw it out, hey, this, that, and then it comes back three times faster and knocks your head off. But Mahaprabhu was just the opposite. He was spending his time bhakta mahima, glorifying, pinpointing and glorifying the devotees. And then what was the effect of that? What was the effect of that glorification? Just like I said, what is the effect of making up a rod? Well, it comes in you and destroys your bhakti and your position in devotion. You can even become a gross materialist because of aparad. So what is the effect of glorifying devotees? Then bhakta sukha dite. It gives great happiness to the devotees. And it gives great happiness to the one who's glorifying the devotees. It says, Mahaprabhu was always always so willing to increase the glories of the devotees and give them satisfaction. Text 187. Tabe Prabhu Pratyeke Sava Bhaktera Namalan Pitapana Deodhyala Prasadakariya. Mahaprabhu took all the food remnants of Jagannath Mahaprasad, such as cakes and sweet rice, and distributed them to all the other devotees, calling them individually. Advaita Nityananda Vasiyachena ekatani dui jane krida kalaha lagilatatai. Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu sat side by side, and when prasadam was being distributed, they started engaging in a mock fight. This happens sometimes. It was a mock. They were pretending to fight with each other, Nityananda and Advaita. Advaita kahe, avadutera sange eka pankti, bhojana karilo na jani habe kon gati. I'm sitting in line with an unknown avadut. And because I'm eating with this avadut, I don't know what kind of destination is awaiting me. Because we may not understand all the particulars of this. So you sit down to eat, what's it have to do with anything? We think like that. Well, you just sit down, you eat. You eat, he eats, and everybody eats. But if you study the Dharma Shastras and Padma Puran and other Purans, it says that there's whole chapters on how the transferal of karma, punya and pap, good deeds and good karma and bad karma, and sitting on the same asana with someone, sitting in the same car seat, sitting in the same line eating prasad, you can lose your caste, so many things you can gain or lose according to your association. And generally in the assembly where Vaishnavas gather to take prasadam, at least in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, they're very particular about who sits where. And the elevated devotees will sit in one line, and after all the men will eat, then the women are allowed to eat. And then even amongst the men, then the different castes and classes of devotees will be segregated. And if you happen to be a Western devotee, and you're living with a group of Bengali, you know, Babaji's or whatever, then they'll put you in one corner. Yeah, Jiva Goswami's Tirubhav in December. And then the devotees who come from ISKCON, they would seat them all in a certain area. Because none of the Goswamis from Vrindavan, none of the Brahmin Goswamis from Vrindavan, or any of the Babaji's would sit down in any line where ISKCON devotees were sitting. And I was staying at Radhadamodar for 3 years, 89, 92, in Prabhupada's rooms. So I was well aware of what was going on, and I was just taking my room, Prabhupada's kitchen. But devotees, because they would come in and they go say, oh no, it's kind of a special place. You sit here, I hear them, special place, everybody over here. So this point here is that Advaita Acharya, he's making an issue here. He says, listen, I'm an Advaita Acharya. I'm from Shantipur. I'm a famous Grihastha Acharya of 1,000 disciples and a very highly placed Brahmin and Vaishnava. And I follow all the Yamas and Niyamas. And I know that if I sit in line with some avadut or some unknown person, I don't know his caste, I don't know his upbringing, I can lose my caste. I can be thrown out of the Brahminical society, or I can, you know, it's like this. In the old days, you know that if a Muslim sprinkled some water on a Hindu, he would immediately he had to give up his Hinduism. He could no longer practice Hindu Dharma just by sprinkling water. Oh, now you're a Muslim. You have to do Muslim Dharma. It was so strict. So that's why this, if you don't know some of these things of the culture, the history, then you don't understand why, what's going on here. So, oh no, I don't know, I'm sitting with this avadut and I'm eating. One thing is a sit, that's why sadhus always walk, they never ride in public transport. Traditionally, a real sadhu, he always walk, because then he's only his own karma. Nature and his own karma. As soon as he rides in a car, then he's involved with the karma. Karma. Of that automobile, that it's called the collective karma effect. So you're riding on the bus, and then you know you get the karma of those other people. Maybe the bus gets in an accident, and it's not your karma because your ashram dharma as a mendicant is not to go there. So if you don't go on that bus, you won't get in an accident. But if you're lazy, not following your own ashram dharma and karma, and you get on that bus, and then there's an accident, you can't say, because some people say, "Oh, that must have been your karma to get an accident." There's a fine point. So no, it's the karma of someone on the bus or the driver or whatever. But then you went outside of your proper duty. You acted independently because of your weakness. Then you rode on the bus and the bus crashed. There's very fine points of karma to understand all these things. But at any rate, everyone should follow their proper line of action. That's the bottom line. And then they're just connecting with their own karma, their own individual karma, the four stages of their individual karma and the super soul. I mean, it's a long, detailed subject. But this is some background. So he started finding issue. Wait a minute, what is this, you know? Then, Prabhuta sannyasi unhara nahi apachai anadoshe sannyasira dosha nahi hai. And he's saying, now Advaita is saying, because Mahabhu is organizing the distribution of food and prasadam. Mahabhu is a sannyasi. Consequently, he doesn't recognize any, he doesn't see any discrepancies. He doesn't see any dosh. As a matter of fact, a sannyasi is not affected by eating food from anywhere and everywhere. Anadosh. It's called anadosh. Ana means grains or food, and dosh means fault or contamination. Because the sannyasi, technically, because you know, Lord Chaitanya took sannyasi in the Mayavad Sampradaya. So sannyasi is, he's seeing Brahman everywhere. So when he gets food, he doesn't see, there's no distinction. So all food is Brahman. Food is God, God is food. So he sees Ana as Brahman. So there can't be any, there's no dosh. There's no dosh or no contamination or fault in Brahman. You swallow. So then, but I'm not a sannyasi, I'm a grihastha, so I have to see duality differences. Just like we know in the Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami was walking down the pathway, and there were some ladies bathing in the river, naked, as ladies do in a village, and their clothes were on the bank. And the ladies saw the avadut. They saw this Sukadeva. He was an avadut, like sannyasi. He's sannyasi, renounced, vairagi. And he was not seeing any distinction, woman, man, this, that. He wasn't seeing. He was just seeing everywhere Brahman. He was a Brahmavadi, and then he became converted to the Krishna conception. So they saw him, they didn't feel anything, so they just kept bathing. But then right behind him, Vyasadeva was coming after him. Hey, Sukadeva, come back. So Vyasadeva was following him. As soon as they saw Vyasadeva, they went and got their clothes. Because they understood, oh, he's seeing duality. He's within the Varnashram Dharma, he's a Grihastha, Grihastha Brahman, and he's seeing man, woman, this, that. So then they felt shy and they covered themselves. So therefore, at the level of Brahman, it's like homogenized, everything becomes one. This is the idea. So then, he's saying he's like that. So he's not affected. So that's what, now you see the discussion. Nana doshena maskari e shastra praman amita grihasta brahman amara doshastan. So okay, he's a sannyasi, he's serving out this prasadam to everybody, but listen, I'm sitting with his avadut, and we don't know where he goes here and there, we don't know what his caste is, we don't know is he married or not married, he's sannyasi, grihasta, he's a Brahman, he's a coward boy. Sometimes he gets on the back of the cows and milks the cows, and sometimes he's arguing philosophy. We don't know. According to Shastra, Shastra Praman, he says, there is no discrepancy in a sannyasi's eating another's house. But for a householder Brahman, this kind of eating is faulty. A Brahman can only eat food from his own hand, which is offered to his own shalagram. I mentioned in a previous class. If four Brahmins are traveling together, four friends, four Brahmins, and their four Brahmins' wives, if four Brahmins are traveling on a yatra, they're going from, let's say, Delhi to Haridwar, or Delhi to Mathura, they're all walking together. They're all friends, four Brahmin families. When they stop to cook or stop to eat, the wives will collect sticks and things like that, dry sticks. Four men will start four fires and cook four offerings. Uneasily, one man can cook for four or five, six people. Because they have to maintain the Brahminical standard. I have to eat food from my hand offered to my shalagram. It's so strict. According to Shastras, there are no discrepancies. So this is some points of etiquette, of course, and I think we're over time. So we'll continue there tomorrow. This is a long story. But there's no hurry, because every aspect of this, of Shastras, is educational, enlightening and entertaining. Because once we were asked, what is the formula for giving a good class? And I said, I don't know, but I think the three E's. Three E's, letter E. Educational, it should be educational, enlightening, and entertaining. Primarily, it should be enlightening. Enlightening and educational. But the enlightenment aspect depends on how realized the speaker is and how realized the hearer is and how much they want to realize and how much like this. And so there's no hurry because it's so wonderful to hear these subject matters. And we can contemplate as we go slowly through Leelas or slowly through philosophy, we can deeply think about it afterwards and what actually happened, what's happening. We freeze the scene in our memory. That Advaita is sitting there, Mahaprabhu is arranging to serve out the prasadam, There's some joking arrangement here between Dvaita and Nityananda. They're actually joking. They're not that serious. And in their joking, Advaita, in one sense, he's almost mocking like the Varnashram Dharma. He's saying, you know, I'm with this Avadhut, and as a Grihastha Brahman, as a Smarta or a Grihastha Brahman, I should really consider all these. Smarta means one who follows Smriti. Smriti means the rules of conduct. Smarta Brahman means Smriti. You heard the Shruti and Smriti. The Shrutis are the Rig Veda, Sam Veda, Atar Veda, Yajur Veda. And the Smritis are the corollary literatures. So a Smarta is a Brahman who's a strict, he's a stickler, as they say. He's a stickler for the yamas and niyamas, the rules and regulations of the Smritis. You can't do this and you can't do that. You can't sit with an unknown person. And you can't do this and you can't do that. And you have to watch out for this dosh and that dosh, and this fault and that fault. And what does it say in the Bhagavatam? What does it say in the Bhagavatam about Kali Yuga? Kaler dosha, kaler dosha in the Raja Nastiyeka Mahagana. Kirtana Deva Krishna Mukta Sangha Paramrajat. It said this Kali Yuga, which they're in, this is 500 years ago, they're very much in Kali Yuga. Advaitacharya, of course, they're in their own Prem Yuga of Lord Chaitanya, but in one sense, it was in the framework of Kali Yuga 500 years ago. There's dosh everywhere. Dravya dosh, faults everywhere. Faults in the environment, faults in the people, faults in the objects, in the vastu, the substances. So it's kind of like a little bit of a joke that Advaitacharya is saying, oh, I have to watch out for the doshas here. Anadosh, there may be faults in this grains I'm eating, there may be some faults there because I'm eating with this avadut, I'm unknown, varna and ashram, and that bad karma will come in this grains and then I'll get that bad karma. And I'm a Brahmin, Grihastha, I'm like a smarta, I have to be careful. But in the context of all this, he's actually explaining, he's actually teaching how the followers of Lord Chaitanya are beyond all the varnas and all the ashramas. Naham varna, what's it? Right? He says, Lord Chaitanya is preaching, and even he utters this prayer. Lord Chaitanya speaks this prayer in front of Rathyatra, in front of Jagannath. He speaks four prayers. And one of them is this prayer. Hey, Jagannath. Hey, Brajendra Nanda and Shamsundar. I'm not a Brahmin. I'm not Nimai Pandit. I'm not a Pandit. I'm not a Brahmin. I'm not a Kshatriya. I'm not a Vaishya. I'm not a Shudra. I'm not a Sannyasi. I'm not a Sannyasi. I'm not a Brahmachari, Vanaprast, Grihastha. I'm nothing. This is not my. I have no Upadi. Sarvupadi Vinirmuktam, Tatpratvena Nirmalam. I have no Upadi. Then, what are you? I'm das and das of Gopinath. Gopi Bhartu Padakamalaya das and das. So this is the basic philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our only identity is Jivera Surupaya Krishnara Nityadas. And to say I'm a Grihastha Brahmin, hey, I'm Advaitacharya, I'm an Acharya, aham Grihastha Brahmin, Amar Dosha Stan, that these faults, this is a very Dosha Stan, this stan, this place where I'm sitting now, this is becoming a very faulty situation. Sitting in this line with a Zavadut. This is a faulty place. Fault-filled place. I better go from here. I better take my prasad and go somewhere else. So he's showing, but finally he'll just stay there and then it's just, Nityananda will go back and forth and Lord Chaitanya will enjoy the whole Leela and we'll probably hopefully finish that tomorrow. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki.